The St. John's Bible is the first hand-painted, handwritten Bible created in more than 500 years. It was a major undertaking sponsored by St. John's University in Minnesota to celebrate the millennium. The Bible contains elaborate calligraphy as well as illuminations or artwork using precious metals. The original Bible never leaves the library at St. John's, but fine art copies of the individual books in it do. Starting in January, the New Testament and Acts of the Apostles will be on display at the Ames Library of Illinois Wesleyan University. Judy Valente has more on this extraordinary project in this exclusive GLT interview with Jim Triggs, one of the St. John's Bible's curators.
St. John's University is a school run by Benedictine monks. In the Middle Ages, monks were civilization's scribes, copying and creating Bibles and other significant documents. In celebration of that Benedictine tradition, St. John's engaged Donald Jackson, an Englishman who is the official calligrapher to the British crown. Jackson wanted to create an illuminated Bible for today. Jim Triggs, who is a curator of the St. John's Bible, says that resulted in some surprisingly contemporary images brought to life by ancient artistic techniques.
One of the things that we try to do when we show illuminations, we don't share the illumination and describe it. What we try to do is get people to talk about it, that this Bible is very communal. That is, unlike a cell phone or a smartphone where it's just you and this phone and it's very singular, what happens with this Bible is you open the pages, and much like we had in the lobby just now here at the radio station, all of a sudden four or five people came around and they said, look at this and look at that. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the most important aspects of this project, the fact that it really invites people to participate and enjoy.
What kind of spiritual experience has it been for people who see it?
For people that are familiar with the Bible, It's interesting because they typically have their favorite verse or their favorite part of the Bible, and they want to go to it, see how it's treated. I've heard numerous occasions where a relative of someone who invited somebody to come see the Bible, and of course the relative came reluctantly, and they were really mesmerized, and there was sort of this sense of awe when they saw it. But when they see it and they hear the story of the St. John's Bible, they come to me and say, thank you so much for inviting me. This has really been inspiring. There's certain things that you can enjoy on the internet. This is one of the things that you really have to see live and in living color to really appreciate it. And so we're really thrilled that Illinois Wesleyan is going to have it on campus to share.
You're not going to see a lot of medieval symbolism or imagery in this. There's really a lot of modern contemporary references in these illuminations.
Yeah, absolutely. A really good example of that is in the Luke parables. There's a series of parables in Luke that are celebrated. The parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, the Good Samaritan. And while Donald Jackson was working on the parable of the prodigal son was when the Twin Towers were hit, so that very day. And so Donald memorialized that by actually including the Twin Towers in the genealogy of Jesus at the beginning of Matthew as a way to celebrate the humanity of Jesus. You'll see the double helix DNA molecule. So that makes a theological statement that we believe Jesus was truly human, but it also is a timestamp of sorts. So someone 1,000 years from now will say, oh, this must have been done after the 1950s because that's when the DNA molecule was discovered. You'll also see images of microscopic images of the AIDS virus and the leprosy virus, and yet on the other side of the scale, you'll see images of deep space taken by the Hubble telescope. So it was really meant to sort of capture the world today and celebrate knowledge and understanding that we know today in a way that would resonate. But then you'll also see icons, beautiful Eastern icons by Aidan Hart, which is very traditional, especially in a number of the illuminations in Gospels and Acts.
Why did St. John's University in Minnesota want to do this project in an age where you have graphic design, you can do all kinds of things on a computer? They hire artists to hand paint and do hand calligraphy of the whole Bible.
Donald Jackson, at a very young age, had this dream of handwriting the Bible. In fact, he told Barbara Walters that on the Today Show back in 1979 that was his dream. And he was always looking for someone to partner with. And we got to know him because we would host calligraphy conferences up at St. John's. And in 1995, he basically pitched the idea, what if you, St. John's, a Benedictine institution with the rich heritage of illuminated manuscripts from the past, hire me to handwrite a Bible using the same tools as medieval days, but capture the art and capture the essence of Christianity at the beginning of the 21st century and make it a gift to the world in celebration of the millennium.
You mentioned Benedictine there, and we should explain that the Benedictines are the founders of Western monasticism, and they were the scribes.
Absolutely, and there's some beautiful manuscripts. If you think of the Book of Kells and many other great manuscripts of the past, it was more often than not, it was Benedictines that were doing that, and they were really capturing history. So we look at the St. John's Bible not just as a celebration of a beautiful book arts that took place many, many years ago, but if you think about how much we learn from past civilizations through the books that we have now, the St. John's Bible is meant to be a gift for future generations as well. So imagine someone looking at this Bible in the year 3017, 3018, and they see Hubble-esque images in our illuminations, and they'll look back and say, oh, that's such a 21st century take on life on Earth.
Well, you're using the term illumination, and maybe we should explain what that is in terms of this Bible project.
So an illumination is really nothing more than a beautiful picture or illustration that has metallic material that reflects light. And whether it be gold or silver or platinum. In the St. John's Bible, those illuminated pieces, those pieces that reflect light, actually represent the presence of the divine, the presence of God. And so they're sort of used strategically and artistically in each of the illuminations.
And there's actual gold leaf in it, as I understand.
Gold leaf and silver leaf and platinum. As a matter of fact, the materials that we use in the St. John's Bible are identical to what you'll find in the Book of Kells and other illuminated manuscripts. And the idea of using those materials is not so much to recreate history, but rather, if you look at the Book of Kells, it's in phenomenal shape. So we have the same sort of vision for this, using these organic materials like calfskin vellum and gold leaf and these organic minerals that are used for the paints and so forth. You know, we have this vision of it still being in great shape in 1,000, 2,000, maybe 3,000 years.
What exactly will people see at Illinois Wesleyan? What has Illinois Wesleyan gotten from St. John's University?
So unfortunately, the original manuscripts we have to curate. So we have to worry about temperature and humidity control, and we can't let people touch it, and it's very valuable, and we have to watch how much light is exposed. One of the reasons why we actually created what we call the Heritage Edition. So if we go back to the mission of the project is to ignite the spiritual imagination of people around the world of all faith journeys. So how does a small university in the middle of Minnesota from Lake Wobegon reach the world? And the main way we're doing it is through the Heritage Edition. So we created something that is as close to the original as possible. And one way we did that was we had Donald Jackson be the artistic director of these volumes. So these are limited edition volumes, and they're true to the artistic intent of the original, and we're making these available to universities. So we have something called The Year with the St. John's Bible, and that's exactly what Illinois Wesleyan is taking advantage of. So we're actually going to have a volume on campus for a full year.
Now, people are not going to see the whole Bible. Let's not get people too excited out there. They will be seeing a part of this Bible. What part of the Heritage Edition will they see?
These volumes are so large. They're about 1.5 by 2 feet in dimension, and we can't bind all the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation together. And so we've divided the Bible into 7 volumes. And the one volume that will be here has the 4 Gospels and the Apostles.
The work that went into this. I mean, this was a humongous effort that involved numerous artists. But just talk about the specifics of how they went about this job.
Yeah, it was daunting, and much more daunting than anybody thought. I think they knew it was going to be daunting going in, but it's one of these things that was even more daunting. So Donald Jackson, again, it was his idea. But he's an artist. He's not a theologian. So one of the first things he said to St. John's is, okay, you're going to have to give me a little bit of direction. I need some scholarship behind this. And so what St. John's did was they put together something called the Committee for Illumination and Text. And this was a combination of biblical scholars and theologians and artists and art historians. And their job was, we want this to be a Bible for the 21st century. We want something that resonates with the world today. So themes like care for the poor, care for the sick, the dignity of all people, the embracing of science and discovery, the glorifying God's words. These are some of the major themes that we wanted to capture in the art. And so that the scholars would write briefs for certain verses and areas of the Bible, and then Donald would take these verses, and then he would assign certain artists that he knew to do the illuminations. So there was a team of the 6 artists that did the bulk of the work, and there was also 6 calligraphers. And the 6 calligraphers, unlike the artists who brought their own traditions to bear, the 6 calligraphers were all trying to do their calligraphy in the same style.
Same style, right. And I think you mentioned to me at one point that It took 12 hours to do just one page of this hand-painted calligraphy?
Yes, it would take 8 to 12 hours to do one page. They would sort of manage this by having the same calligrapher work on facing pages so that your eye can't pick up the difference. And then they would typically do the calligraphy first and leave space for the art. Most of the calligraphers were in and around Wales, but the art came from artists from around the world. So unlike monastic times back in the medieval days, these pages were flying all around the world. They would leave space for the art, maybe roll up the piece of vellum, and they would ship it to a studio in California. Thomas Ingemeyer is one of the artists who worked on this in California. Suzanne Moore at the time was in Ohio, so she would have pages sent to her. So that's one of the big differences between medieval times and today. We were sort of leveraging the fact that we have artists from around the world that participated in this.
So you have these pieces of this artwork flying around the world. How did St. John's University, as you say, a liberal arts school in woebegone country, pay for all this?
Yeah, that was another big one, because like every other college, we've got all sorts of pressures. We want to make sure we have scholarships available and building funds and faculty needs to be paid and so forth. So Brother Dietrich Reinhardt, who was the president at the time, and his team, Rob Culligan, who was in charge of institutional advancement development, they did a very good job of reaching out to sort of non-traditional sources. So one of the companies, which is surprising, that put a fair amount into this early on was Target Corporation. So Target put about $3.5 million into this project, and they really viewed it as a beautiful work of art. And there was a series of exhibitions that they helped sponsor. And there was also quite a few non-traditional donors to St. John's who came forward that heretofore had not been that actually knowledgeable who St. John's was, but they fell in love with the St. John's Bible. But there's also lots of individuals. We took donations of $5, and there was Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops that donated to this. So I'm not sure if this number is correct, but something in the order of like 1,500 different donors made this possible.
And the overall cost was, in the end?
Yeah, we don't disclose that. We think as much as the Boy Scout and Girl Scout troop that donated as much as the $1 million donations. So it's something that the university doesn't disclose, but it was definitely in the millions.
Has this project revived an interest in calligraphy and the almost lost art of illumination at one point?
Well, I tell you, it's one of the people that I think has done a lot of revitalization of calligraphy is Steve Jobs, and the impact it's had on Adobe PostScript and the kind of fonts that we now use in everyday life. I had an experience at a college where one of the calligraphers, Diane von Arx, was actually doing calligraphy out in the hallway prior to her talk. You would be amazed to see the students who were gathering around, and what she would do as a courtesy, she would do their name in beautiful calligraphy. And again, calligraphy is a form of art. It's very, very beautiful, and just that sheer beauty of it draws people in. And so, yes, we've seen a lot. And also, in every city, it seems like there are calligraphy guilds that come out of the woodwork to see this Bible. They either know Donald Jackson, or they've read his books, or they've taken classes from Donald Jackson. And so, yeah, we think it's having a big impact.
Illinois Wesleyan's Evelyn Chapel was able to obtain the reproduction of the New Testament on loan through a $9,500 grant from the Merwin Multi-Faith Fund. Wesleyan will kick off its year-long celebration of the Bible with a free lecture by Tim Turns of St. John's University on January 18th at 6:30 p.m. in IWU's Westbrook Auditorium. GLT's Judy Valente spoke with Jim Triggs, one of the St. John's Bible curators, here on Sound Ideas on GLT.